From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Hundreds of women are running for the House of Representatives nationwide in primary races leading up to this year's midterm elections. At the latest count, there are more than twice the number running this year than in 2016. Women are fired up to run for office under Donald Trump's presidency, and the fact that a large majority of those running are doing so as Democrats suggests they're ready to challenge the GOP agenda. My guest, Saira Rao, is one of those women, but she's running as a Democrat, ready to challenge the Democratic Party as well. Rao, who is a first-generation Indian-American, was a stalwart supporter and activist with the Democratic Party. And then last December, she published a provocative piece in the Huffington Post entitled, "I am a brown woman who's breaking up with the Democratic Party." Saira Rao now joins me. She's running for Congress in Colorado's 1st District, facing incumbent Diana DeGette in the June primary. She's a co-founder of In This Together Media, former clerk for the U.S. Court of Appeals. She's done a number of things, her latest being running for office. Welcome to the program, Saira.
Thanks, Sonali. What a nice introduction.
Thank you. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, let's before we get to why you decided to run for Congress, why did you break up with the Democratic Party? In the piece that you wrote in the Huffington Post last December, you featured a photograph of yourself grinning proudly with Hillary Clinton.
Yep. Yeah, so I should say I had broken up with the Democratic Party establishment, which remains true. I think we have two fights this year and going forward. One is the obvious one, turning red districts blue, but equally important is turning blue districts really bright blue. And I think this is a fight for the soul of the Democratic Party. The party used to be of the people, communities of color, the poor, the disenfranchised. And now with all of the money that both parties take, including the Democratic Party, from corporations, I think that it's really moved to be a sort of more centrist and for the corporations that support it.
So you have decided to challenge an incumbent for the Democratic nomination. Why are you running as a Democrat?
I'm running as a Democrat because I think we can take the party back. I think progressives can take the party back if we can get the money, the corporate dark money out of the party and return it to a party of the people. Then, you know, I'm very happy to be a Democrat. I'm a proud Democrat. I've been a Democrat forever. But being disappointed by the way things have gone and by the fact that we Americans have been ignored at the expense of big pharma, insurance companies, real estate developers, I'm fighting to get the party back to where it belongs, which is with the American people.
So do you in a way place part of the blame for the Trump presidency, for the GOP agenda getting so much traction on the Democrats as well?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Sonali. After I wrote that article, I was blown away by the response. It went totally viral. I got so many emails. They're still pouring in. And the response was sort of in three categories. One was the mainstream centrist party establishment telling me to F off and goodbye, sort of to the other extreme, which we should all be deeply concerned about. Black, white, brown, gay, straight, male, female, all different ages. Wrote to me and continue to write to me saying, you know what, we're with you. We used to think that the Democratic Party was the lesser of two evils. And now, in many respects, we think they're worse because at least Republicans are openly horrible. and we're no longer voting. That is where it becomes scary. We're no longer voting. What happens in that situation? And then sort of the middle group, why don't you run for office, Saira? And I thought to myself at first, can't we expect more from our representatives? Is the answer always just go for it? And then over the Christmas holiday, something occurred to me. My issue with these Democrats who've been in Congress for decades, there is no term limit on this institution. And the party makes it so that they do not support people, non-incumbents in primaries. So you have a situation where people are in Congress, we're paying their salaries. They're there for decades. They're supported by corporations. They literally don't represent us, and they're not using their power and privilege of 100% safe seats to advocate for the disenfranchised. That's my beef. And I thought, oh my gosh, here I am in a situation where I'm not 25, I'm 43. I have class privilege, so I can pay for childcare. I have a supportive family. And I have the power to actually challenge the status quo. If I don't do that, then I'm just as bad as they are.
Hmm. So in your piece, you...
Personal question. Yes, I think that these career Democrats who have been in power forever and ever are not representing the people. And that is a big reason we lost in 2016, no doubt.
Now, your piece in the Huffington Post, and I want to get to the fact that race is a central part of your campaign. Your piece is entitled, "I'm a Brown Woman Who's Breaking Up with the Democratic Party," not just a woman. And you write, "For every Kamala Harris and Pramila Jayapal sticking their brown and black necks out for me, there are dozens of white female Democrats who want me to shut my trap." How have you been challenged? And I've been looking at your Facebook page, by the way. You're very bold. You're very, you don't hold back, particularly in the issue of race. Why is race such a central issue for you? And how have you found that when you do bring up the issue of race, it's often white liberals that are upset with you?
Yeah, you know, I think, and again, I've had this sort of awakening after the catastrophe of November 2016. And I realized after the election that I had been a white feminist my whole life. Hmm. And when I started bringing up racial justice issues with my white liberal female friends, they were loath to discuss it. And it made them very defensive. And what we're finding, it's really interesting, even with the Me Too movement and Time's Up, white feminists are very outspoken now on, and rightly so, on issues of sexual harassment and sexual assault. But when brown and black women talk about issues of racial justice, we are told that we are being impolite. We are told that we are too angry. I am told that every single day by white liberal people, mostly women, actually. Hmm. Maybe if you could tone it down, Syra. And it's incredibly hypocritical, right? Because in many respects, white feminists are expecting men to hear their anger, their righteous, real anger, but aren't affording brown and black women the same, you know, courtesy of hearing what we experience, which is woefully different. You know this, Sonali, you're a brown woman too, woefully different than what white women experience.
Did the election of 2016 bring to light for you as an Indian American, not just a brown woman, but an Indian American, that, a lot of Indians who are the part of this sort of stereotypical model minority suddenly find that they have much more in common with African Americans and Latino Americans, with Native Americans, than with white America, even though in many ways we as an ethnic group have taken up the same class space for many decades. I mean, you were raised to in the country to be to feel like anything was available to you if you just worked hard enough. But of course, your brownness will get in the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So a few things happened the days after the election that really stuck out in my mind. Number one, my late mother was called the N-word on Facebook.
Wow.
My mom served our country for 34 years as a doctor at the Veterans Administration. She was called that on Facebook. My husband was called a terrorist and told to go back to his country, which incidentally is America. Mm. And we had a family friend, Indian family friend in DC, 12-year-old, who got accosted by a drunk white frat guy on the metro on his way to school, and it got captured on video. My daughter heard my husband and I talking about this. I was crying, and she became convinced that her daddy was going to be killed for being black. I brought it up with her teachers. They didn't want to talk about it at school. They never addressed it, ever. And it occurred to me that I had no idea what it was like to be black in this country, and I still don't have any idea. But I have a little clue as to what it's like. And it's terrible. Class privilege is amazing, but when you are walking while brown or black, when you're driving while brown or black, it's a very different thing. And it's curious about the Indian thing, because, you know, you realize how we're sort of surrounded by so much hate in so many different directions. And I've had relatives in India who have trouble accepting my point of view, which is we can't be bigoted towards Muslims, and they have their own issues in India. And at some point you kind of feel like you're not making anyone happy and you're getting attacked by everyone just because you're taking a stance against bigotry across the board in every single form.
Let's talk about your campaign platform. So part of this conversation on race, you have very openly and overtly said you support Black Lives Matter and ending police brutality, ending the death penalty. Tell me a little bit about how you want to advance racial justice through your candidacy, and if you make it to Congress, through your congressional position.
So, you know, for a living, I create diverse mindset that story matters, narrative matters, words matter a lot. And
you're the co-founder of In This Together Media.
In This Together Media. What I believe first and foremost needs to happen is we as Americans collectively have to say Black Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter. And the fact that most people, including white liberals, cannot and will not say that. One of my daughter's coaches told me last week, he's a white liberal guy, he would support my campaign if I would take Black Lives Matter off my website. So that gives you a sense of what we're talking about here. If we can start saying that and start meaning that and start marching for BLM, that's a great first step. In terms of criminal justice reform, so much of that is based in racism and white supremacy. We have to start talking about it. So when we talk about what happens when I get to Congress, I think dialogue has dropped out altogether. And we're all kind of having these Band-Aid solutions to a endemic problem that stems, frankly, from the fact that our country was founded on genocide of indigenous people. Thereafter, we had slavery, and we've never, ever, ever had a truth and reconciliation in this country. And I think it's high time that we do that. And I think as a culture, we need to do that. And I think Congress needs to set the example and the stage for that.
Saira, how would you, in your opinion, be a better Democratic representative than the incumbent you are running against, Diana DeGette?
Sure. Number one, I'm not taking corporate PAC money, and
she
has been. She is, yes. And I've been offered it, and it's really interesting. I've turned it down. And then, you know, I spend the day on the phone trying to raise money in $27 donations. And you realize the allure of why people do that. But guess what happens when you do that? You take the money, and then that pack and the people behind it, those are your constituents. And that's not just a matter of process. That's a matter of substance. So when we sit back and ask, why do we still have an opioid crisis? Why don't we have healthcare in this country? It's largely because people in Congress on both sides are taking tons of money from big pharma and insurance companies. Why are we still dependent on fossil fuels? My sense is that we're taking a ton of money from oil and natural gas. So the fact that I'm not doing that is a major, major thing, number one. Number two, representation matters, and Colorado has never sent a woman of color to Congress. And again, representation
matters. The entire state has never sent a woman of color, not just your district. Wow.
Nope. The entire state. Chew on that, right? And there are 9 members of Congress right now, and every single one of those people are white. And I would argue that having a non-white woman in Congress from Colorado would be more representative of actually what my district looks like right now. I think 23 years is a long time for anyone to be in any kind of a job. And the incumbent's been here, she's going on year number 23. It's time for a change. This district, District 1 of Colorado, is incredibly progressive. It's diverse in all forms. And I think it's time for a true progressive to represent a truly progressive district.
So you have chosen not to take PAC money, money from political action committees, which is essentially corporate money. How well have you been doing in raising funds?
Well, we've been doing great, actually. My message is really resonating, which is exciting. And, you know, I had a guy a couple weeks ago say, I have $10, this is a Wednesday, $10 between now and Friday. And he gave me $3 of that $10. It broke my heart, but he did it online. He said, it matters. Representation matters. You matter. And my whole thing is, once we're able to get corporate PAC money out of the game, everybody needs a seat at the table. Why are we in a situation? We have affordable housing crises all over the country. Every burgeoning city has one. And why don't we have a situation where everybody who has a vested interest in that neighborhood gets a seat at the table? So it's not just real estate developers walking away feeling like the 100% winner and everyone else feels like the loser. Why don't we have people like who own businesses there and residents and the real estate developers and the mayors and the city council members. And as a member of Congress, I could sort of put all that together, kind of bring people together, and everyone can feel 70% happy rather than one person winning and one person losing. We've got to stop doing that. We can actually all come to a consensus.
Yeah, I want to go back to what you were saying about representation matters. Not only are you a woman of color, you have an immigrant background, right? Your parents are originally from India. You part of your platform is protecting immigrants and standing up to xenophobia. And Donald Trump has really whipped up his base time and again, promoting very, very harsh anti-immigrant rhetoric and sentiments, very racist. And his party continues to go along with it. The Democrats, however, have said that they stand up for immigrants. Are they doing a good enough job? Would you be better than the establishment Democrat on the issue of immigration? I mean, Nancy Pelosi, you know, has made it clear to Dreamers from just her 8-hour speech in the House of Representatives that she's got their back, at least on the surface.
Okay, let's use the Dreamers as that's a great example. Words don't matter. And I know I'm tired of tweets and words and soapboxes and Facebook posts from these longstanding Democrats. Why are we in a situation now of the taxpayers of America have a gun to our heads where we're going to be paying $25 billion to build a wall between us and Mexico that nobody wants because we didn't pass a Clean Dream Act? We've had a long time to do that. We have not done it. And look, this March 5th deadline came and went, and Durbin's talking about the Dreamer issue is going to be determined at the midterm election. Nobody is taking care of the Dreamers, Republicans and Democrats alike. Congress should be ashamed of themselves, truly ashamed of themselves. So, yes, I would definitely be better. That's sort of number one. We need to pass the Clean Dream Act, whatever it takes. And standing up and talking about it is not action. That's just talk.
So finally, Saira, we talked about how a lot of white liberals who support the establishment Democratic Party have been upset by your boldness and, you know, your calling out the issues of racial justice that you see, racial injustice that you see. But who has supported you? Do you find that you have changed minds? Are there people who, even among white Coloradans, who think that that your candidacy is what they want in Congress?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. So I want to be clear, it's not all white liberals. So, you know, it's not that at all. I will say I have gotten more support from more people and a more diverse group of people than I ever could have imagined. Young people really like my message. You know why? Young people have been ignored by both parties. I had a woman, it's a 30-year-old African-American woman who said to me, "I've got three strikes. I'm black, I'm a female, and I'm a millennial." And she said, "No politician has ever asked me my opinion on anything, yet I get blamed for everything." So young people, I care about young people. We need to eliminate the student loan debt. That right there is a crisis that nobody in Congress is talking about. They've created that crisis, and now we've got an entire generation of kids who not only cannot create wealth, but they're entering cycles of poverty over their student loan debt. And so, yes, I would say brown and black folks are very interested in my message. People who have traditionally been left out of political discourse, which is basically everyone who's not rich in this country, they're very hip to my message. So I've gotten a huge outpouring of support, and I so appreciate it. And I know we can do this.
Well, Saira, the primary is coming up in June.
We just got on the ballot, which is exciting.
You collected, nearly 2,000 signatures to get on the ballot. Give out a website where people are might be able to find out more about your candidacy, not just in your district, but around the country, if there are others who are considering doing what you're doing, because there is still time to get on the ballot in several states around the country.
You want me to give my website?
Yes, go ahead.
Yep, sure. It's www.sairaforcongress, that's SAIRAFORCongress.com.
We'll post a link to that from our website later today. Good luck to you, Saira.
Thanks. Thanks, Sonali.
Sairad Rao is running for Congress in Colorado's 1st District, challenging incumbent Diana DeGette. She's the co-founder of In This Together Media. She's been a former clerk for the U.S. Court of Appeals. She's a first-generation Indian American, and we've been discussing her candidacy. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.